Our scripture reading today will come from two places. The first place will be from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verses 23 to 29, and then from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, 20 to 37. You can find the scripture reading in the back of the insert in your bulletins. On one side of the insert is an outline of this morning's sermon message. On the opposite side is the scripture reading from Genesis 19 and then from Luke 17. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word, Genesis 19, the verses 23 through 29. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the valley, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife, behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. Then from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 20 and reading through verse 37. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' or 'Behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.' And he said to the disciples, 'The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, "Look there," or "Look here." Do not go out and follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be on his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. And they said to him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." Thus the reading of God's word today from the book of Genesis 19 and Luke 17. Keep in mind the outline in your bulletins as you listen to this morning's sermon today. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, a little over a week ago, my mom unexpectedly called me on a Friday night. She never calls on a Friday night. But she called because she was upset. She had just seen pictures and video on the news of the fire damage in California. She told me it was the worst she had ever seen. And what upset her the most was the fact that many people were sleeping in their beds when the fire started. They were not able to get out of their homes. There were others who, while trying to flee in their cars, were burned alive. Perhaps as well, as you've looked at these pictures and videos of the fire raging all around and the aftermath pictures of blocks of homes with only foundations left and the frames of burned out cars and trucks along the road. Perhaps you too have been affected by what you've seen. Many of the people in those fires had very little warning. The day before, they were living their normal daily lives, eating and drinking dinner in their homes, buying and selling in the stores of their towns, planting and harvesting their food in their fields, working construction jobs in their local building projects, sound asleep in their beds at night. When suddenly the fire hits, their lives are over in a flash. We still do not know for sure how many have died. They've published an estimated number, but there are many people still missing. Did they escape? Did they go to a shelter? Are they living somewhere else and we don't know where they are? Or did they burn so badly in the fire that there's nothing left but ashes and we don't know where they are? In the coming weeks, we will soon know more. But as we look at the pictures and reflect on what's taken place, it is a reminder to all of us of the uncertainty of life. And it should remind us of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, that he has come, that the kingdom of God is already present for those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in their hearts. And that someday in the future, Jesus will come again, and everyone will see the kingdom of God come in all of its fullness. And that we must be ready for that day. Well, let's begin this morning with the kingdom of God present now. As you can see in our text today, it starts out with the Pharisees asking Jesus a question about the kingdom of God. We see in verse 20 that As Jesus in verse 20 is being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answers them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed." Now keep in mind what the Pharisees are thinking about when they ask Jesus this question. The Pharisees had a certain kingdom perspective in mind when it came to the future. They thought of the kingdom of God as an earthly nation in this world. They thought of the kingdom of God like the one they had seen or read about in the Old Testament under King David. When they read the Old Testament prophets, they had in mind that God would send another king like the Old Testament King David, who would lead the Jewish people into battle against their enemies. And so by the power of God, they believed that this next David would lead the armies of Israel to drive out Rome, to reestablish the earthly nation of Israel to its Old Testament power and size. But Jesus tells them in verse 20, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed." In other words, you're not going to visibly notice the kingdom of God as a nation as it was in the Old Testament, a nation on earth. It cannot be observed like other nations in the world. Verse 21, nor will they say, "Look, here it is," or "there." You're not going to be able to look on your map and say, "Okay, there's the nation of God here on this earth, a nation like the other nations of the world that has a map and territory and a place where the people of God have gathered and will dwell." It's not going to be like that when Jesus is asked the question and responds about the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God, Jesus goes on to say, is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is, as the footnote says, within you. What does Jesus mean by that? He means that the kingdom of God that he has come to bring is not about an earthly nation, not about a horizontal earthly kingdom. The kingdom of God is a vertical kingdom. It is a kingdom that is about changing sinful hearts to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has demonstrated this power and people that have come into this kingdom over and over again. He has demonstrated it when he has driven out the demon of the demon-possessed man. It has been demonstrated in the healing of the leper when Jesus made him clean, in the healing of the bleeding woman who could not stop bleeding, but when she touched Jesus, she was made well, and Jesus told her to go in peace. It was demonstrated in the raising of the dead boy in Luke 7 at Nain, who was in the funeral procession in his coffin when Jesus touched the coffin and he came to life. The miracles that Jesus has done are the signs that the kingdom of God is already spiritually present. Jesus has come down from heaven and into this world in time and space history to bring about the kingdom of God, changing hearts, making sinners right with God. And that's why Jesus said, the present kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It's within you. It's in your heart. It's not horizontal and earthly, but a vertical kingdom in which people have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, a vertical kingdom which will someday come down from heaven. And then Jesus turns to his disciples. You notice in verse 20, he's speaking to the Pharisees. In verse 22, he is speaking to the disciples. He turns now to the disciples, having answered the Pharisees' question, and he explains to them about the not yet future part of this kingdom. That in doing this, he is reminding them of how they must live in the present because of the kingdom that is still to come, the fullness of the kingdom of God future. Verse 22, he tells them, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. Jesus is telling the disciples they will not see the full future of the kingdom of God. They will not be alive on earth on the day that the Son of Man comes back and returns to earth. He tells them that at the end of it, you will not see it. In verse 23, he goes on to describe then what they must be aware of as they live. They will say to you, look there, or look here. Do not go out and follow them. There are going to be people that will claim that the Son of God is coming, or the Son of Man has come. There will be people that will try to get you to follow them. False prophets that will come and say, look, the kingdom of God is coming. You need to be aware of it. Or look here, the kingdom of God is over here. Don't you see it? You better follow me and I'll direct you to it. You don't want to miss it. But Jesus goes on in verse 24 to say, for as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. Jesus tells his disciples, you're not going to miss it. Meaning, there will not be something that you're going to say, hey, it's happening. You need to be aware. Hey, it's happening here in this part of the world. Or this person is saying it's happening here, so maybe it is. The day of the Son of Man, when he returns, there will be no doubt that that day has come. The sky, Jesus said, will explode with the brilliance and the glory of the Son of Man. Like lightning that flashes in the sky from one side to the other, it will be clear. There will be no mistake. No one will say to you, look over there, or look, here it is, as if you're going to miss it. You will know it yourself, and it will be clear and visible to all. But, Jesus adds, verse 25, Something must first happen before that day. And what is it? First, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. You see, Jesus knows the mindset of his disciples because they have grown up in this Jewish environment. They have recognized that Jesus is the Son of God. They've recognized him as the Savior or the Messiah, as God has said, but they still do not fully understand why he has come and what he is about to do. They too, like the Pharisees, have been caught up in the Jewish earthly nation thinking. But now Jesus tells them, before the kingdom of God can come in all of its fullness, before the day of the Son of Man, when he will return and will the glory of God will brighten up the sky like lightning, salvation must first be accomplished. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, must go to the cross and suffer many things. He must be rejected by this generation. He must die on the cross to pay for the sins of his people. Salvation for the people of God must first be accomplished before you can look for the fullness of the Son of Man and the kingdom of God to come on the day he returns. And so, as Jesus speaks further to his disciples about this day, he tells them to be prepared. Look at verses 26 to 30. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You see, as Jesus refers to the days of Noah, he is not saying that the people during those days were rebellious and sinful, like it tells us in other parts of Scripture. We read that they were rebellious and sinful in the book of Genesis. We read that in other New Testament books that speak of what was taking place in the days of Noah. But Jesus' point here in Luke chapter 17 is that the people of Noah's day were living their normal, everyday life when the flood hit. They were eating and drinking, having dinner in their homes. They were getting married. They were starting a family, living their normal lives on earth. He isn't referring to anything necessarily sinful that they were doing. They were simply living their lives on earth as we do today. But God told Noah to build an ark. And by faith, Noah entered it and was saved from the judgment of God. Verse 28, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Again, as you look at what's being described concerning the people of that day, not only does Jesus say they were eating and drinking like he did about the days of Noah, but they were buying and selling, doing commerce in their city, in their town, going to the stores, working in the stores, planting their fields, working their fields, planting and harvesting, building, working in the city, building various things for the city and for what was needed within the city. They were living their normal, everyday lives. But one day, on that day, Lot went out from Sodom, and fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Jesus said, that's what it will be like on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. You see, Jesus is telling us that this will be unexpected. People will be living their normal everyday lives. when unexpectedly the judgment of God will come, like it did in the flood in the days of Noah, like it did in the fire from heaven during the time of Lot. They won't get an emergency warning text on their cell phone. You're not going to get an emergency broadcast system beep on your radio or TV. Like a flash of lightning that flashes across the sky, Jesus said, the world will come to an end. And so, as in the time of Noah and Lot, they looked during their life on earth to the salvation plan of God. For Noah, it was building the ark. God told him to build the ark, and by faith, he entered it. For Lot, it was to follow the angel out of the city, and God's fire and judgment came out from heaven upon the city. For the disciples and all of God's people, the salvation plan of God, Jesus came to bring. It is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to know that he went to the cross, God's wrath fell upon him, that even though you are a sinner and worthy of the judgment of God, Jesus Christ paid for it on the cross. And because he has covered your sins by his death and through the power of his resurrection, before you is not death and judgment, but before you is life everlasting in heaven with him. And so Jesus goes on to warn them not to turn back. Verse 31, on that day, let the one who was on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Don't hold on to your earthly possessions, the possessions in your household, as if those are important on the day of the Lord. Don't turn back and look to those things. Don't turn back to your fields or whatever it is you own, as if those things are more important than Christ and serving him. And then verse 31, a three-word verse. Remember Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do? We read it a moment ago in the book of Genesis. The angel had come into the city. The angel was leading Lot and his family out of the city, away from the judgment of God. The salvation plan of God was being displayed and shown. Lot and his family were to focus on following that angel away from the city, away from the judgment of God. But she looked back. And she didn't just look back and say, okay, I'm interested to see the fire. She looked back, as other places in the Bible tells us, because she longed for what she was leaving behind. She was thinking of her household goods. Perhaps she was thinking about her possessions. Perhaps she was thinking about the rest of her family that she was leaving behind. Not her family with Lot, but her family from the town where she had lived and grown up. She turned back because she loved the life that she had there more than she loved God's salvation and God's salvation plan. Her life on earth was her focus. Instead of putting her focus on God's angel that had come to deliver her, she turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. A pillar of salt that would waste away there in the valley. And that's why Jesus concludes verse 33, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. Whoever seeks to preserve his life here on earth, that's going to be destroyed, and you will lose your life along with those possessions that are going to be destroyed. But whoever loses his life on earth, gives up the things of this world and the pleasures of this world, and gives it up in Christ, Whoever loses his life in Christ Jesus as their Savior, Jesus said, will keep it. Lot's wife lost it when Lot followed the angel. He kept it. Separation is going to take place. Separation is described in the verses that follow. I tell you, verse 34, that in that night there will be two in one bed. There will be one taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. Two people sleeping in the same bed at night. One will be taken to heaven, the other left behind in the judgment of God. Two women doing their everyday job, grinding together whatever it was. One will be taken, the other left for God's judgment. You see what is at issue here. Jesus is describing concerning that day in our text. He is warning his disciples. He is warning us today that that day of judgment is coming. That a day in the future where the Son of Man will come, a worldwide cosmic event like lightning in the sky, you won't be able to miss it. That you need to be prepared by looking to the Savior, the salvation plan of God that He has provided. That God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to take the wrath of God for your sin upon Himself on the cross. That Jesus, who has saved you from your sins and God's wrath, should be the focus of your life. And that we should not be like Lot's wife, who looked back because she was attached to the things of this world. Christ has come, and He is leading us out of this sinful world to the salvation of God, salvation forever in heaven with Him. And then Jesus concludes with this final warning. Now, some of you may be recognizing here that there's no verse 36. Verse 36 is not found in the more recent reliable manuscripts. And so they've put a footnote in there about that. And verse 36 doesn't really add much to what's already been said in verse 34 and 35. So we're going to leave that issue alone. But our focus today, as we look at the end of these verses, or the end of this chapter, verse 37. And they said to Him, "Where, Lord? Where do you see that today? Where do you see that today?" And the Lord said, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." The footnote tells us the corpse could be translated body. The vultures could be translated eagles, depending on what translation you have. The corpse indicating a dead body. The vulture or birds of prey indicating birds that eat flesh. You see, just as a corpse or a body attracts vultures, you've seen that as you drive along the road. You're driving along the road and a dead animal has been hit by a car and it's laying there, and the birds of prey have gathered around it and they're eating the meat of that dead animal. They're eating the dead body. In the Bible, if a bird of prey is eating a human body, it represents God's curse. We see that later in the gospel as those who have been crucified on a cross, their body after they've died is often left on the cross to the very end so that the birds of prey would come and eat that body, and it would represent the fact that that body, that person that died on that cross, is cursed. So the spiritually dead, those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, are spiritually dead. And Jesus said they are inviting God's judgment and curse. And Jesus, in answering the disciples' question, "Where, Lord?" Jesus answers, "It's happening now." In Noah's day, Noah and his family were taken. Everyone else was left behind to suffer the judgment of God in the flood of God's wrath. In Lot's day, Lot and his family were taken, but everyone else in Sodom was left behind to die in the fire of God's wrath. And when Jesus refers to the corpse and the vultures, he's referring to the fact that the vultures are gathering now already around the spiritually dead. At the beginning of this sermon today, I pointed you to a reminder that God is giving us today. Fires in California. Now, we do not say that the fires that are taking place are the judgment of God, that they're an end time event like we saw in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, God's judgment fell upon the people of that day because of their sin and wickedness. And Lot was rescued from the judgment of God. And many of those, or all of those, who were not saved from that fire went to the wrath and judgment of God in hell. In California, they have fires. But there were likely Christians who died in those fires as well. This is not an end-time event like we saw in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But when you look at the pictures and the videos of the aftermath of the fires, the blocks of homes with only foundations left, people died sleeping in their beds, burned out cars along the road with fire and smoke all around, it should serve as a reminder to you of what is coming on the day of the Son of Man. For the people in California, the day before the fires, they were living their normal daily life, eating and drinking, having dinner in their homes, buying and selling in the stores of the city, planting and harvesting their food in the fields, working their construction job on the city building projects, sound asleep in their bed at night. Suddenly, the fire strikes in a flash. Many of the people said they had little or no warning. Many people said they knew of those who had no time to escape. In our text today, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is present now." If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can enter into the kingdom of God now. He has brought you in by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. Like Noah, who built and went into the ark. Like Lot, who was led by the angel. Jesus Christ is God's salvation plan for all of his people, to deliver them from his wrath and judgment for their sin. In our text today, Jesus tells us the day of the Son of Man is coming, and it will come like the days of the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah. You won't be warned right before it happens. You won't hear it on your radio or television screen with the emergency broadcast system that the day of the Lord is almost here. You've got time to get ready and do it now. You're not going to see a presidential warning text on your cell phone that says it's coming. Get ready. Now's the time. The words of Jesus in our text today tell us, this is your warning. Don't turn back like Lot's wife, who saw the salvation angel, and yet she turned back. Put your eyes on the Savior that God has sent. Live each day for him. Know that he has saved you from your sins, and he has saved you from the coming wrath. Know that in Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven has come in your heart. And on the day that he returns, in store for you is eternal glory forevermore. Put your eyes on the Savior that God has sent, and don't take your eyes off of him. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this scripture passage, which puts before us a reminder of the kingdom of God and its coming. For we rejoice that we know our Savior has come, that, Lord, he has brought us unto himself, that by his death and resurrection, we know that our sins are washed away and we have been given eternal life. And yet, Lord, we long for that fullness of the kingdom to come, a day in which our Savior will return in the clouds of heaven, in the brilliance and the light of the glory of God shining forth from him, where everyone who has ever lived in this world and will be alive on that day will clearly see our Savior and his return and the truth of your word. And yet, Lord, as we live in this world, the Savior has reminded us of those in the days of Noah living their normal and daily lives, those in the days of Lot living their normal and daily lives when the judgment of God hit and they had no salvation. Father, we are thankful for your word, for your word has come to us as we have listened to it read and proclaimed. And it warns us. It warns us to make the Savior our focus of our life. It reminds us to live each day and not turn back to the things of this world, but to look forward to Christ and to follow him. Enable us, Lord, as your people, to recognize this great salvation, to know as we live in this world, that some will be taken to heaven and eternal life, and some will be left for judgment and eternal death. May you focus our hearts on that wonderful grace and salvation that has come. May our hearts be ready with joy, because on that day we will be with you forevermore. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.